We think of physical acts done to somebody that abuses them, but according to other definitions, and really the truth about abuse, it is possible to be abused and never be touched by anyone. We call it psychological abuse, or we call it emotional abuse, or we call it spiritual abuse. There's abuse that happens that you don't have to be touched to be abused. There's a kind of thing that causes us to begin to think negatively about ourselves. We go back to that call, that Amar call over our lives, that people call you things or cause you to believe things about yourself that just isn't true. And sometimes when you live in close proximity to someone, it's easy to begin thinking their thoughts about you. And it creates its own prison for you. And it's really hard to get out of because you begin to believe that what they're saying is true. So you're really stuck. You're all walled in. So anyways, Abigail has this husband. His name is Nabal. He's a pretty rich man, he's wealthy, and life is going pretty well for him. David's been at war, he's been hiding out. And David sends some of his men at a certain time of year to go to Nabal, to bless Nabal, and to ask Nabal for food and provisions, because they've been out there for a long time. They go, they speak to Nabal, and Nabal has an interesting response. He says this. First, let me tell you what David said in 1 Samuel 25, verse 7. It says, "Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us," this is the message David is sending, "we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable towards my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them." So he's making a request of Nabal. And Nabal's response is this in verse 10. "Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David just told Nabal that we've protected you, we've kept you, we've watched over you. And Nabal is ungrateful and doesn't want to reciprocate kindness. And I think sometimes that reminds me of my own walk with God. God is always there, even when I don't even acknowledge him. He's there. He's in my life. He's at work. He's protecting me. He's watching over me. And really, he asks very little of me. Really. But it's so easy sometimes to say, even about myself, even in my attitudes, why should I give God any more? Or why should I bother with God at all? I'm tired. I've had enough. Well, Nabal was kind of like this. And he began to hurl insults at David's messengers and so on. And David hears the news and David's pretty angry about it. Because David knew and the servants knew that really, David had protected them. In fact, in verse 14, it says this, "One of the servants told Nabal's wife Abigail, 'David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them.'" Verse 15 says this, "Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day they were a wall around us. All the time we were herding our sheep near them." Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and the whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. Every time I read that passage of Scripture, I think about the fact that that's exactly what God is to us. He is our shield and our defense. He walls us around. He watches over us. He takes care of us. He's with us, even when we don't know it, yet we miss our opportunities with Him. But Abigail hears this, and the Bible says she loses no time. She takes as much provision as she can, and she goes to intervene because Nabal is going to get them all killed. The Bible is very clear. If you read on in that passage, it actually says she didn't tell her husband. She just went to solve the problem. And my thought is, if Nabal would be so brazen as to be disrespectful to David of all people, I can't imagine he would have been very disrespectful to people in his household either. He wasn't a nice man. And so she goes and she speaks to David. And when she gets there, she gets off her donkey, she brings all she can, and she tells David the truth. It says this in verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off the donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "My lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my lord pay no attention to the wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent." I'd like to suggest to you that sometimes in hard situations that aren't this wonderful Proverbs 31 kind of examples of a perfect world, it is easy to be in bad situations as women. And sometimes we buy into what we call the code of dysfunction. Don't talk. And you don't tell. You just suffer quietly. But I'd like to suggest to you that by this account, there is a moment in time when you're supposed to talk and you're supposed to tell. And I've begun to see that when the issue reveals itself publicly, you have two choices. You can cover it back up and make excuses for it and put it aside. And when you do that, you go back underground and you go back into jail again. But in those moments, you get a chance to speak truth. Abigail took advantage of her opportunity to get out. Nabal had exposed himself as the abusive man he was. He was abusive to David. She didn't cover it up. She just said the truth. It's true. He's shown you that he's foolish. He's foolish. And then she saves the day with influence. Because what Rachel and Leah used as manipulation and deception, there's a positive side to being female. And the positive side is we have the power of influence. And influence can be a good thing. So she kind of says the right words and speaks into David's ego issue. And she says, "Oh my Lord, surely you're not going to chase a fool. Because then you'd kind of be like him, and you wouldn't want to be like that, right?" She got up and she got out of the situation. She said, "Wait a second. What makes this relationship work is not Nabal's power over me, but the fact that I exist in this relationship and I can speak for myself." And she says to David, "Had I have known that you were here, you would have gotten different treatment." Why? "Because I exist in this relationship. And I count. And I am a helpmeet. I make a difference." And so she apologizes on behalf of her household. And she says, "Blame me. If I'd have known, I would have been here. I wasn't here. So let's sort this out." She's able to calm David down with influence. She's able to give David the provisions he needed. And the end result of doing that is she was able to go home to Nabal and not have her fields burned and everyone's lives taken. She gets home. Nabal's doing what he does best, getting drunk and being a mess. And in the end, anyways, she informs him of what happened. The Bible says he goes into what I would call a catatonic state. Perhaps he had a stroke. And within just a few days, he died from shock of his reality that his life could have been over already. I'd like to suggest to you that even in the Word of God, God shows us, he lays out for us how we can survive in less than perfect situations. The way that we normally handle things is if it's happening and it's bad, we hide it. And even when it exposes itself, we lie. We cover it to our own detriment. But I believe that there's a time when God looks at our situations and he says, enough. No more pain. No more suffering. Something's got to change. And when those moments in time come, take them. Speak truth. The situation itself has exposed itself. When it gets exposed, God had something to do with that. Work with God. Don't work against his trying to give you help. Am I making sense to you? Because you see, he wants to make you a crown of splendor, a royal diadem in his hand. If you're emotionally and physically battered and bruised, it's hard to be that. But his desire is to preserve you. Because he wants his delight to be in you. So if you don't know the Lord, the best picture of God we have is what David showed us about God. He was out in the fields and he protected this man's land. He stole nothing from him and he was a wall of protection around him. Can I tell you that's our God? He does just that for you and I. And all he wants in return is relationship. All he wants in return is to make you better and better and better. All he wants is a chance to work with you in life, to change things, to alter things. So be encouraged today. If the Rachel part was for you, deal with the things you're covering. God's your husband above all, single or married, and he wants to make some changes for you. And if the Abigail situation is yours and you're facing tough times, look for God's openings to save you and deliver you, because he's the kind of God that makes ways of escape. Take advantage of them. Help others to see them when you know they're suffering. Because God's got a way through. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, we just lay everything we've talked about in these hours before you. We thank you that you're a loving God. You're a saving God. You're a delivering God. You care about our relationships. You care about our conflicts. You care about our inner conflicts. You care about what we believe about ourselves, which isn't true. And more than that, you care about what you believe about us, which is all truth. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that even in these closing minutes now, you would just to continue to work by your Holy Spirit and accomplish in our lives just what you want. I want you just to take a few minutes and just reflect on the day. The worship team's coming and we're just going to go into communion in a few minutes. But I wonder if there's anybody here who has heard everything we've talked about and would say, I don't know this Jesus for myself. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I need God to be working in my life and helping me out. I want to be this crown of splendor. Well, there's a way to go about it. And the way to go about it is to accept the fact, as hard as it is to understand, that Jesus died on the cross for you. And he wants to come and he wants to be a part of your life because he's the kind of God that didn't just die. There's historical evidence that tells us he also came back to life. That's our God. Those who serve Him know it, and those who don't serve Him have read about it and realize it is true. And if it is today that you are desiring to get to know Jesus better, I just want you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come out. I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you if it is that you desire a relationship with Jesus. All right. We're going to go into communion. And in communion, we're just celebrating the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us. And He cares for us, and He loves us, and He wants us to remember the work He's done. Because that's what makes it possible for us to accept the new name and live a different way. That's what gives us the strength to be all that God calls us to be. And I've heard your prayers today, and I know that God is speaking to you. And we want to give you an opportunity through communion today to just talk to God about the things He's been talking to you about, the things He said He's not going to remain silent on. We're going to take communion together. The emblems are going to come around to you right where you are, and just want you to hold the bread and hold the wine. If you're a Christian, you're welcome to take communion with us. This is how we as Christians celebrate the truth of what we believe. No one minds if you let it pass you. And then we're going to sing as we pass it around, and you're free to sit, stand, do whatever feels best to you. And then we're going to take communion together.